Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Tonight, we wrap up a three-part conversation we've been having on bullying over the past 3 weeks. It's one of the great issues of our day, especially online. Brett Murray has been guiding us through it all. He's the author of the new book, Make Bullying History. We've covered the research, what bullying actually is and isn't. Last week, we looked at who the bullies are and who are the victims. Well worth catching on the podcast page of our Open House Community website. Finally tonight, we're going to get practical to see what we can do to stop it. You might also like to join us for a concluding Open House conversation with your story of bullying, physically or online, if you're up to it. We'd love you to tell us how this has worked out in your life, what happened, hopefully what and how you got through it. Give us a call on 1300 40 2020. So for the final time in our series, Brett Murray, welcome back to Open House.
Thanks so much for having me again, Lee.
It's been a really valuable series of conversations, Brett. There is a great deal of advice out there these days about how to take on bullying, hopefully to stop it. What are some of the things, as you go around to hundreds of schools each year and community groups, what do you say? What do you advise?
Well, when I deliver my Make Bullying History seminars, they're actually a seminar. They're not an awareness program. There's plenty of awareness programs out there.
Yes.
45 to 50 minutes. They come in and they say to kids, bullying's bad, stop it. And then they leave.
Goodbye.
And it's like, thanks, Sherlock. Tell us something we don't know.
Yes.
What I do is I do a four-hour seminar with high school students. It's obviously shorter for primary school students. Shifting the paradigm, the way of thinking. At the moment, when you go into a school, there will be any principal that tells you we don't have a problem with bullying at our school is either in denial or they're lying. The principals that I deal with right around the nation are all really fair dinkum, down-to-earth principals, and they say, of course we have a problem. It's everywhere, but we deal with it in this way. That's why we've got you in.
Yeah.
So what I do is it's been proven by psychologists right around the world, whatever you focus a teenager's brain on or their attention on, that's what they gravitate to. So when it comes to drug and alcohol training, for instance, every drug and alcohol training program I've ever sat in or been a part of, it speaks about drugs and alcohol, negative effects, dangers, drugs and alcohol. Kids leave the room thinking, drugs and alcohol.
I'll try that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I design my seminars to be the opposite. We start by talking about bullying, what it is not, and then why behind the what, why do kids bully? But once we've done that, that's really the first third of the seminar. Once we unpack what bullying is and why people bully, and it comes down to self-esteem and self-worth, I start talking about the value, the intrinsic value of each individual, start speaking into the lives of the students as a community. So each and every student realizes that each and every person in that community has amazing value. Then from that point of value and understanding your worth, we use that as a launch pad, if you will, to then start dream, goal, and vision. And so we start talking about what could you achieve? What could you do? What would you like to do? What are the things that are possible in this world with the skill set you have, with the imagination you have, and finish off with a visualization session where I play an orchestral piece of music that goes for 20 minutes and the kids, whether it's 8 or 8,000, it doesn't matter. I've had groups of up to about 1,000 kids do this where they just lie down all over the stadium wherever we are, eyes shut, you know, not talking, and we play the music and I tell them a story. And in that story, they themselves fill in the blanks and they literally see themselves in their imagination living their dream. So they leave the room thinking, wow, I could do that. I can imagine if I could do this. Wouldn't that be awesome if I could? And so when you focus kids on their dream, goal, and vision, and you tell them they are worth that dream, goal, and vision, they don't have time to bully. Because they're too busy chasing their dream.
Who wants to be bothered?
Yeah. And they're too busy chasing their dream. They realize, hang on a minute, I'm worth my dream. I'm going to go after that. Who wants to bag people out when I'm chasing my dream? And so it's a whole paradigm shift. And 100% of the feedback we've had over the last decade from primary school students and high school students, when we ask them to give us written feedback, we say, what did you learn from Brett's seminar? And they always say, Brett told me that I'm worth something, that I matter, I can live my dream. But hang on a minute, this is an anti-bullying seminar.
Yes, yeah.
But that's exactly the process we want. We want to shift the paradigm away from bullying and onto more positive things.
It must be so gratifying for you to hear back from these kids. What are some of the things that have struck you most about them as they've fed back to you?
The feedback that is priceless is when you get an email. One email comes to mind of a student who I spoke to at Skeggs Redlands. He was year 9. I spoke there at 2005. Yeah, this student emailed me saying that I was in Year 9 in 2005 and I was a bit of a rat bag and I didn't really pay attention, but I bought your book at the time, which was an old book I'd written. Long story short, here he is, tells me that the words that I spoke during that seminar and then the words of my book that he read had inspired him to knuckle down when he came to Year 11 and 12. He wanted to get into law, needed a 99.9 UAI. He didn't get that, he got 99.8. Didn't get it. So he goes into a university of second preference, studies his backside off again, and then goes for the transfer option. And out of 500 applicants, there was only 13 positions, and he got it. And he says to me, here I am studying my second year of law, and he said, it's all because of you back in 2005.
And it really has nothing to do with bullying, but everything to do with where bullying came from.
Yeah, exactly. And then the dream goal and aspiration. Yeah. I mean, I was at a cafe speaking at a school in the north shore of Sydney, finished at the school, went to have a coffee at the cafe, and this lady was wiping on the table and kept staring at me. And she said, did you used to have long hair? Which I used to. I said, yeah. She said, you spoke at my school a couple of years ago and you said, bang, 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 bang. She reiterated everything I said. Just hearing the fact that kids remember what I'm saying and then applying it to their lives, it's worth more than gold. You know, really is. You can't put a dollar value on it.
It's one thing to be bullied mercilessly, as we heard about in our first session. It's another thing to write a book. But where do you get this esteem thing and this value thing? Because it's so potent. Where do you get it from? Where's that idea come from?
The research of self-esteem and self-worth shows, you know, it's from fathers. What I do in schools, you wouldn't class it as a Christian organization or presentation.
No, you're not a Bible basher.
No, but everything I do is based on gospel values. Yeah. And even Jesus had to be publicly endorsed by his dad when he got baptized. This is my son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. He was publicly endorsed by his father. And I think that sets the standard for all of us. We all need to know that we have worth and value. As human beings, we need to know that we're loved, that we matter. Yeah. And when that is missing, there's something missing out of the human condition. So I think that's the core value of everything.
And yet when it's there, it's mighty powerful.
Oh, it's
transformative.
It is. It's so transformative. It's amazing. You look at the kids or even people in your world that are comfortable in their own skin, and I guarantee you most of them have had a fantastic relationship with a very engaged father who is very affirmative, telling his kids how much he loves them, always there for them, always willing to sacrifice for them. And the kids know it. It's not just an unspoken thing. It's something that is very much communicated. And the kids that I find that are doing well in school, and research shows this, they're the ones with engaged, positive fathers.
There is so much more advice out there beyond your own aimed at tackling bullying. If you look at how much the problem is talked about and how much we can see, why do you think all that advice is not working to the extent that we would hope?
If you just brand something as negative, doesn't mean people aren't going to go there. I mean, look at cigarette smoking.
Yep.
It's been branded as negative for years now, even with the horrific pictures you see on cigarette packets of people who are suffering from the effects of smoking. And it's been proven unequivocally that smoking kills. Yet there's still millions of people around the world that choose to smoke. So just labeling something as negative doesn't mean that people aren't going to go there. Yeah, it's like putting a Band-Aid on a bullet hole. You really need to deal with the core issue. You need to, you know, get some surgery in there and stitch the problem up. Bullying, in my professional opinion, is not a school problem. It's not a youth problem. It's a parenting problem. Kids are a product of their environment. And whether it's fatherlessness or whether it's they're just inundated at home by the video games they play and the movies they're allowed to watch, garbage in, garbage out. If people are taught to devalue human life and humanity, then they will devalue human life and humanity. They won't respect others because they're taught through what they're being fed that it doesn't matter.
I'm still impacted by the figure that you quoted last week that the average kid has 6 minutes of quality time with their dad each week.
Yeah. It is astounding. And I think it's time that, as the famous American speaker Rick Godwin says, just because you got a zipper doesn't make you a man. Edwin Lewis Cole coined the phrase, we are male by birth, man by choice. We need to step up as men, as fathers, and take responsibility for our homes, for the environments we create with our children. It doesn't mean that we have to buy our kids the latest thing. It's time, it's love, it's affection, it's touch, appropriate touch, hugging your kids. I mean, I'm going to be forever grateful for my wife for highlighting to me that when my daughter, now 18, when she was going through her developmental stages and turning into a young woman, I started pulling away thinking, oh, how do I hug her appropriately? Yes. I don't want to be, because the world's just bombarding you with all this negative information. And my wife just pulled me aside and she said, she needs you now more than ever, because as a girl going through this process, it's where she feels the most awkward she's ever going to feel.
Yeah.
And if you pull away, you're just going to reinforce that negative emotion. So you need to just hold her like you normally do, let her sit on your lap while watching TV like you normally do, rumble like we normally do,
yes,
you know, and just be there and let her know that, hey, you're my princess and I'm not going anywhere.
We've mentioned your book numbers of times, Make Bullying History, the title of your seminars. What do you hope people get out of it?
Hope, first of all. I hope they get hope that me as a child who was raised pretty much by a single mum can come out the other side and do well, but also some real tools of how to deal with bullying practically as a parent of a victim or as a parent of a bully. I hope that parents can see, you know, there are practical ways of dealing with the situation. It isn't something that is too hard. A lot of people just say, well, it's so prevalent right around the world. There's always going to be bullying, so why do anything about it? You know, kids just need to learn to toughen up. But, you know, evil prospers when good men do nothing. You know, I'm not going to sit back and let kids suffer, particularly now that, you know, we look at the insidious side of bullying and how damaging it can be, the effects it has when it comes to teen suicide.
Yeah.
I mean, up until last year, Australia was number two in the world for teen suicide with over 370 suicides a year. That's over one a day. But the dangerous statistic is that for every one successful suicide, there is nine attempts. That's 3,300 kids every year, over 10 a day, trying to kill themselves in what I think is the most blessed nation in the world. Now, according to the CIA World Statistics, New Zealand is now number one for teenage suicide. It used to be Finland. So when kids are killing themselves at such a rapid rate, we need to start asking ourselves a question, why? Why is this happening?
What do you say into those kids' lives to make them step back from that?
It's quite simple. You matter. You count. You are an amazing individual with an incredible look at life, and no one sees life the way you do, and we would be a less of a place if you weren't in it. So please stick around, share with us your gifts, your talents, your ideas, because what you're going through can then be a key in the future to help someone else through what they're going through. Just like I did, you know, I got through bullying in school and, yeah, had the suicidal thoughts at age 15. What's the point of living? No one cares. I know what it's like, but I wouldn't be where I am today and having achieved what I've achieved today if I had have ended it all back then.
Yeah, of course. Teachers are often the best students in their discipline. Can I ask you what you've learnt through the whole process as you've brought your own personal experience to it and done the research, written a book? What have you learnt along the way?
I think the biggest thing I've learnt for myself is how important I am as a father and how much I need to live what I've learnt, walk what I talk. That's the first thing. The second thing is that I don't blame the bullies, the guys that picked on me at school. I know that they all had their own issues at home. I think the biggest thing to move away from that is forgiveness. A lot of kids say to me when they hear that I was a state champion boxer, they go, oh, did you go and bash the guys? And I always say to them, it wasn't about that. It was about myself. It was about finding out whether or not I had what it took to stand up for myself. That's all it was. It was just putting the training into practice. It wasn't to go and thump someone's head in. So forgiving the bullies, because oftentimes the bullies don't even realise what they're doing is creating so much damage.
Yes.
And if you don't forgive, you then become the person with the problem, because you carry that bitterness throughout your life and you see the world through the lens of that bitterness. But if you learn to forgive and say, okay, you know, that was in the past, maybe not forget because you learn from lessons like this, but just forgive and move on, that's probably the best lesson I've learnt.
Again, without being a Bible basher, so much of this is at the heart of the Christian ethic.
It's the gospel. It's good news. If people could realise that the teachings of Jesus are actually here to empower entire nations, yes, through communities, through families, there's nothing negative about Christianity.
It's good.
Yeah, it's good news. That's what's gospel, good news. And I find a lot of teachers who would be pretty much anti-Christian, when they find out after having me as a professional anti-bullying campaigner. I'm not there to proselytise kids.
No.
I'm not there to, as you said, Bible bash. I'm there to help and serve the school community when it comes to the issue of bullying. And every school I go to, without fail, after they finish hearing me speak at a four-hour seminar, I also do the staff training with a professional development workshop for the teachers and parenting seminars in the evenings, there will always be one or two teachers that would be, you would kind of say, anti-Christian. They would not be positive towards Christian services coming into their schools. They will often say to me, what's your values? You know,
where's this come from?
Yeah, why do you do this? And I will always keep answering a question with a question. What do you mean? Until they get to the point where they say, are you a Christian? And then I say, yeah, of course I am. And the response is always, that makes sense. Because they see it lived out.
If only we saw more of it.
Christianity is not a religion. It's something, it's a relationship, and we've got to live it out. I mean, what's the point of saying you're a Christian if people can't see it by your lifestyle?
This has been one of the most valuable series of conversations we've had in the 2+ years that I've hosted this program. I'm so grateful for your time, Brett Murray. He's the author of Make Bullying History. If people want to contact you, I'm sure there are many people who would like to. How do they get in touch?
I'll just go to my website, which is the www.brettmurray.com.au, and there's a contact tab there. Just send us an email. You can get me through Facebook, Brett Murray on Facebook, and also Make Bullying History Facebook page as well. So they're three ways you can contact me, and I'd love to add value wherever I can.
Well done. All power to you. And we'll put those links up on our Open House Community Facebook page. Get ready for the onslaught.
Looking forward to it.
Thank you so much indeed for joining us over these past 3 weeks.
Thanks, Lee. My pleasure.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.